Cookie cried all the way home, and instead of cooking supper for her family, she locked herself in the bedroom and cried some more. At 4 o'clock, her children came over to my house to eat. At 5, they went back home because they didn't want to be there when Bob got home. Uncle Fawcett fell asleep in my spare bedroom, so I left him there, being careful not to touch the aluminum foil on the walls as I closed the door and meandered up the hall. That foil was cold when I touched it. I hated the foil and the thumbtacks that held it in place over the paneling. But Bob was sure that foil was the only thing that kept the CIA from hearing everything that happened in our home. He told me that real love wasn't buying some ridiculous-looking minivan, but making sure his woman was safe from Big Brother. Because of this, Bob used his money to fortify our home and build anti-spy equipment in his shed while I used mine to pay bills. I checked his pop bottle on the back door trap, making sure it was still in place. He would ask me about it as soon as he found out that I hadn't been home all day. I heard Bob's bike coming up the road. I heard him stop down at the bridge about an eighth of a mile from our mobile home. I knew he was checking to see if the CIA was hiding under the bridge. If there was a vehicle anywhere within sight, it was the CIA. If it was black, he would say that it was an unmarked car. If it was a van, he would say they were staking out our place. But if it were some old jalopy, he would say that it was definitely the CIA and they were disguised as rednecks. I heard him pull up to his shed. I knew he was dismantling his alarm. Then I heard him pull into the shed and cut the engine. For the next 10 minutes, he rattled around out there. I knew what he was doing, same thing he always did. He was looking for listening devices that some secret government organization might have planted in his workshop. A week ago, he had sworn he saw a man in a black trench coat lurking around in the woods behind the shed. He had been growing more and more apprehensive lately. He came in, his fair skin face red from the summer heat, his sandy hair hanging in his eyes. He kicked his shoes off at the door and unbuttoned his work shirt so that his pinkish stomach protruded over his loose pants. Then he went to check the pop bottle. "You've been here all day?" "I can today." "You checked to see if the door had been tampered with?" "I did. We're safe." He nodded his approval. "I'm going to pour some coffee." Bob always told me where he was going, even when it was obvious. He went straight to the kitchen and reached for the coffee pot. "What's for supper?" "I want some pork chops and mashed potatoes." Bob loved pork chops. He loved them so much that I was probably the only person who actually called him Bob. To the rest of the world, he was Pork Chop McQuade. He poured me a cup of coffee too, putting sugar in it. He walked over to the fridge and, as he always did, laid his ear against the door. His close-set eyes, his aquiline nose, and pencil lips gave his face a permanent, serious look. "Don't say anything until I'm done getting the cream out and putting it back." I wasn't going to say anything. Bob believed that refrigerators were perfect hosts for secret government spy devices. He poured cream in our coffee, then replaced the milk, holding the door open for a good 60 seconds before he closed it. "I heard just now," he said, "them voices that I was telling you about. I could hear them whispering on the other end of their tap. They're probably parked up there in a van in the holler somewhere." "Bob, I don't think that after all these years they're going to." "That's the trouble with most people, Cupcake. They don't think. Just when you go to telling you're letting your guard down, that's when they come for you. They know that I know things and they're afraid. Things like Roswell and them lights in the sky over across the Big Sandy. They know, and they don't want me telling people. So what are we having for supper if we're not going to have pork chops?" "Chili and crackers." He slicked his long bangs back with his free hand. It's too hot for chili. Won't you fix me some pork chops? They're still frozen. I forgot to thaw them out today. Well, what'd you do all day that you couldn't remember to thaw out my damn pork chops? I went over to Cookie's and, now there's the problem, he said. You can't stay away from that lazy-ass sister of yours long enough to cook your husband a pork chop. I was canning pickles, I snapped, and I went to get Uncle Fawcett out of jail. That stunned the daylights out of him. What? He got arrested for indecent exposure, went to town, took all of his clothes off. He did what? I knew it. I knew he was losing his mind. They've got to him, Cupcake. I told you. Where's he at now? In the back bedroom, asleep. Bob brought me the cup of coffee and set it down. Here, drink your damn coffee. I don't want that nasty old man in my house. He's a security risk. I've said that for years. He wouldn't listen, wouldn't line his house with the foil. Now look at him, crazy as a hydrophobic dog. Hope you ain't planning to let him stay all night. A man ought to be able to come home and have a decent meal and not have to worry about some old kook spitting in the floor. That old kook gave you the deed to this land, I said. I set my coffee down and stared into space. I wanted to cry. Here Uncle Fawcett was dying, and all Bob cared about was his pork chops and his privacy. Then he laughed. A mad chuckle, like what he had done was amusing. He slicked back his hair again. I don't think that's funny, I said. He sat on the couch. I kept my head laid back and my feet propped up. My feet hurt a lot from walking so much every day. They even hurt on the days that I didn't work at the marina. Every chance I got at home, I pulled off my shoes and went around in a pair of giant, fluffy purple house slippers. You gonna drink your coffee? I lowered my feet and sat up. I took a drink and remembered a girl at work who had gotten an online divorce. For a moment, I wished I had a computer, but Bob wouldn't allow one in our house. Besides, I was only hurt at Bob. It happened all the time. It would pass. Janet's husband had beat her and slept around a lot. Of course, Bob didn't do those things. I could never divorce Bob. He needed me. He didn't have anyone else who loved him or understood him. I worried about what would happen to him if anything were to ever happen to me. He thought he was taking care of me, but I knew that I was really taking care of him. Yes, Bob needed me. So no matter how hateful he could be, I knew he loved me. He had lived a rough childhood, and his job was hard for him. No, it would be a sorry woman that would divorce her husband because he was grumpy and a little eccentric. Still, I did get mad at him, and I was mad at him right now.